Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We speak today of the relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're talking about two of the persons of the Godhead, Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are so entwined. They are so united. They exist as one. And what one does, all three of them, of course, have a part. There's complete harmony and togetherness and cooperation among all the members of the Godhead. But there are several revelations about the relationship of Christ and the Holy Spirit, of which the Bible speaks, and when we learn this information, we're assisted in better understanding deity. There was unity and joint action between Christ and the Holy Spirit at the creation, in both of the material as well as the spiritual creation. We also read of the prophecies by the Holy Spirit through the inspired writers of the Old Testament, of the early life of Christ, which later became a reality. And this shows a direct contact, one with the other. The Holy Spirit gave such revelation long before Jesus came. The Holy Spirit associated with the second person of the Godhead, which is Christ, after Jesus became flesh and was involved in his earthly ministry. And this association began with the incarnation when Christ took on the form of humanity. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. That was the word of Gabriel to Mary. Joseph was told by Gabriel also, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1. God miraculously fathered the child Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And friend, the Holy Spirit was prominent as he accompanied Christ wherever he went and whatever he did. He was at his baptism. He was at the transfiguration. He led him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. The scripture says that the presence of the Holy Spirit was with Jesus without measure. In John 3 and 34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. In other words, there was no limitation on the communion between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ was under the control of the Holy Spirit, and he manifested his deity to the fullest while here upon the earth. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says of Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And furthermore, the Holy Spirit aided Christ in executing his earthly work. While Christ was the only member of the Godhead to become flesh, the Father and the Holy Spirit fully shared in all that Jesus did. It was prophesied by Isaiah and recalled by Jesus in Matthew 12 that the Holy Spirit would be with the Messiah while he carried out his work here upon the earth. And Matthew 12 shows how Jesus did not cast out demons by the power of Satan. He showed that Satan could not cast out demons, but he did this by the power of the Holy Spirit. There again we see the cooperation of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Dear listener, when Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth, he read from the Old Testament. This is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And then he closed the book and he said, today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And by this he acknowledged that he taught and he spake by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, Jesus gave commandment to his apostles through the Holy Spirit. There can be no question as to their harmonious relationship during this teaching, his miracle working, the prophecy fulfilling, the commandments given during the ministry of Christ here upon the earth. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Christ shed his blood as an atonement for sin by dying on the cross, and his blood became the cleansing power of sin, Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. But this was done, the Bible says, through the eternal Spirit. And after being buried in the borrowed tomb, Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 11. The crowning work of the Holy Spirit is, of course, to glorify Christ, the Redeemer. When Jesus was promising his apostles the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them and outlining the work of the Holy Spirit, he said, "He shall glorify me." The relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit included the cooperation in the creation, in prophecy, in his incarnation, his earthly ministry, his glorification. It continues in the teaching of the doctrine of Christ that is done by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And furthermore, Christ revealed a deity to man in John chapter 14. His mission was to do the will of the Father, John 4. And he also revealed the Holy Spirit. We have a fuller revelation of the Holy Spirit in the teaching of Christ than in any other portion of Scripture. It is not surprising that this is true, inasmuch as it is said of Jesus that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, as I cited Colossians 2 and verse 9. Now, John records more of the teaching regarding the Holy Spirit than any other writer. As already noted, Jesus discussed the reality of the Holy Spirit as a person. He revealed the nature of the Holy Spirit as much as we can know. This is where we learn of the Holy Spirit. It's from the Scripture, not from the imaginations of men, not from the concoctions of false doctrines. Christ outlined the work of the Holy Spirit, and particularly the relationship and its purpose between the Holy Spirit and the apostles. Generally speaking, after Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit would continue the work of Christ that he began while here on this earth, which was namely achieving the salvation of mankind. That work would begin with the apostles. Now, we can't read all of the passage of Scripture in John 14, 15, and 16 of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, but let me summarize with these few words. Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. The Holy Spirit would guide them. The Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance that which Jesus had taught them. The Holy Spirit would provide them with all truth, and would comfort them and give them the power to spread the gospel. The Holy Spirit would enable them to effectively bear witness of Christ and confirm that which they declared. They would soon after his ascension be baptized, be submerged, be completely overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as for the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the world, in John chapter 16, Jesus outlined the work of the Holy Spirit, and the fulfillment of his promises began with the apostles on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the book of Acts in the second chapter. Friend, it was on that day, a Jewish feast day, that 50 days after the Passover, 10 days after Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles just as Jesus had promised them. There were physical manifestations of his presence, such as a sound, such as a mighty wind, tongues or languages that the people could speak that they had never learned, tongues of fire upon each of the apostles. Yes, they had the ability to speak in languages that they had never learned, they'd never known before, but languages which were audible, which were understandable to the hearers in the language of the hearer. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that they were baptized of the Holy Spirit. That day, for the first time, the full and whole truth regarding Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ and the Savior, the Son of God, was proclaimed by the apostles. The sermon of the apostle Peter is given to us in that chapter. By the coming of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were sent forth declaring God's plan for the salvation of man through Christ, and the beginning of his church, his kingdom, which had for so long been foretold. Now this topic of the work of the Holy Spirit, it is a great lesson in and of itself. The Holy Spirit was to come and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. By preaching of the word, the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance, people were convinced of sin, and they were convinced of the righteousness of God, that is, God's plan for making man righteous, and of the eventual coming judgment, and how man needs to prepare for that occasion. When they heard these things from the Apostle Peter and others, those people asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And why? For the remission of sins. And they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that the Holy Spirit gives. By the Holy Spirit, the word was spoken. By the Holy Spirit, people were won to Christ by the preaching of the Word of God. We do not read of people coming to Christ separate and apart from hearing the Word. But let us be glad that through the Holy Spirit that Word is given. The Holy Spirit inspired the apostles. The apostles preached what the Holy Spirit taught them to teach. And the Holy Spirit taught them the things that Christ had taught them during the days that he was with them. And in the events on the day of Pentecost, we see the relationship of Jesus and the Holy Spirit extended to the establishment of the Lord's church. And this, of course, was the church that the Lord had promised to build. He was to be the builder of the church, Matthew chapter 16. That he is the Son of God is the very foundation of the church. Also Matthew chapter 16. Paul said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, the message of the apostles, it was not a denominational message. It was not a human-originated message. It was not something that came from the mind of theologians. It was not something that they invented. They preached that which the Holy Spirit taught them to preach. And what did they do in doing that? They were preaching Christ. So in this we see the oneness, the wholeness, the fullness of the revelation and the relationship of Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit. They are part of deity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they have given unto me and unto you the Word, the all-sufficient, inspired Word of God. When you pick up your Bible, when you read it, when you study it, when you believe it, when you obey it, friend, you are doing what the Holy Spirit has commanded to be done, and you will see the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who offers to be your Savior. We're so glad that you listened today. We hope that you will listen again. And remember to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.